My guest at this time is longtime pollster and strategist Pat Caddell. He joins me now to discuss the present realities of the 2016 presidential race, including ongoing efforts from many Republicans to stop Donald Trump from being the GOP nominee. And Pat, let's start on the Republican side of the campaign. There was a meeting Thursday among conservative leaders committed to stopping Trump. We know of establishment efforts to do so in the past. What impact do you think these public efforts by figures within the party, both establishment and conservative, actually have on the grassroots?
Well, I think that it's a little too little too late. I think that if they try to have a convention where they try to take the nomination away from a clear frontrunner, if that's the case, he's won most of the contest, most of the votes, it will blow the Republican Party up. I think the question is whether the Republican Party and Donald Trump can possibly reconcile, and whether he, and also whether in upping his game, which he needs to do, he can attract, he can, you know, kind of soften his image a little bit and reach out to people. But this is a year in which the voters, you know, Donald Trump hasn't created the situation. The voters have created the situation. And they will, you know, they have created because they are angry at the establishment, the broad establishment, as are most of the country. They are, they wish to have, you know, and they've sort of taken control of this. They've been very angry. As we saw, even in the exit polls as late as last Tuesday, majorities in every state feeling that they had been betrayed by the Republican, you know, Republicans in Congress and Republican establishment. So I wouldn't recommend it. I think that they were going to challenge Trump. The problem is they don't understand what he is motivating and what there is in the country. And that's why I think they've been losing. This is not, by the way, and I don't think this has anything. I think the comparisons to 76 and so forth are ridiculous.
Pat, you've labeled this an insurgency election, not an ideology election. So what exactly do folks, other than seeing Trump as an outsider, perhaps somebody who's been able to achieve some things over the years, somebody who speaks bluntly, are those the main things about him that appeal to him? Because obviously
I think most of all, I mean, that is obviously a very big personality and bigger than life figure. But I think what appeals to them is he speaks to the things that they're concerned about. A country in decline, the trade deals, and what has followed, they feel he might be able to help. He gets very strong marks on the economy, and he might do something, and that he's anti-Washington, that he's not part of the system, and most of all, that by funding himself, he's not owned by the special interests, which is what they feel most of these candidates and most of Washington is. So that's a big question.
Pat, you mentioned that if Trump is the clear frontrunner, even if he doesn't have the majority of delegates, it'll destroy the Republican Party if they don't end up nominating Trump. What's the threshold here of whether it's close enough or not? Trump laid out the scenario where if he's about 100 delegates short, but Cruz is, or somebody else is down around 400 or 500, then there's obviously a big gap there. How close does Cruz or maybe even Kasich need to get this, but probably Cruz given the numbers, for there to be a legitimate debate in your estimation at the convention if nobody's got the majority?
Well, I think if it depends. They would have to be at least, you know, fairly close to him. But it would have to be between candidates who are competing. But one thing that is not going to happen, and this is, you know, in 76, Gerald Ford and Reagan had both had a lot of votes. Ford came into the convention slightly ahead. He had the power of the White House. But those are two candidates who had competed in primaries. The notion I most think is ridiculous is somehow you're going to take the nomination away and give it to someone who didn't run this year. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think, and I think that the other candidates, if they came together to deny him, they'd have to be fairly close. His voters are not inclined to want to see something like that. The notion that you're going to use the fact that a lot of the delegates are chosen by state committees or whatever and change the rules and do all that, to have someone parachute into this race is an insanity. It's not going to happen.
Such as the story of John Boehner the other day suggesting if there is no consensus nominee, then Paul Ryan perhaps should be the unifying candidate. But that seems unlikely to happen, obviously. But given where we stand right now, you've got the hashtag Never Trump people. And then, of course, you've got the Trump supporters, of course, who are perhaps the most loyal voters we've seen in a very long time. They're absolutely not going anywhere. So no matter who ends up emerging here, can this party be united in the fall?
Well, I don't know. I think it will be hard. I think there will be defections. I have predicted for a long time, I think there may be a third party coming, a major one before this is over. Right now, Hillary Clinton, the Wall Street Journal poll showed 56% of people said they couldn't imagine voting for her, 67% Trump. Some of those things will change by party. But, a lot of the Bernie Sanders people aren't happy. But I don't think we're going to have an election right now where it's going to be very clear. I think we're going to have, as I like to call, chaos theory. As I predicted a year ago, I said this was going to make 1968 look like it was going to be 68 on steroids and in terms of the surprises, hopefully not the deaths. But and I think it's lived up to that. We are entering a new political paradigm in the political class and the media. There's don't understand or recognize it. They keep thinking, and a lot of the opposition to Trump, remember, is that he is a standing threat to the old order, to the arrangements, the corrupt arrangements and other things. That is at the heart of a lot of the opposition here.
Pat, obviously there's a lot of polls out there showing right now that head-to-head, Hillary Clinton usually beats Donald Trump, and that's used by Cruz and Kasich and others to suggest that he'd be the wrong choice, among other reasons. But with Hillary Clinton, of course, being part of that political class and her having a tougher time getting to the Democratic nomination than she probably first expected, although at this point it looks like she's going to get there.
She's going to get there, but, against a 74-year-old socialist.
Right.
That is not exactly what I would call a compelling campaign.
So can Trump turn those numbers around, and whose negatives matter more?
That is, by my greatest concern analytically, this is high negatives. He has got to do something about that. But even with that, he gets a lot of votes out of his positives. But her margins are not that great, and the general election is still a long way off, and we will have events. And a lot of it is in Trump's own hands. So we will see. Time will tell.
Last topic on the Democratic side. Obviously, Hillary's started to pull away in the pledge delegate count. She's got a huge lead when you factor in the superdelegates. But we're still seeing pieces. There was just one in Salon about saying Democrats are picking the wrong candidate here because of Hillary Clinton's baggage. So what's the mood on the Democratic side?
Look, this is a party, and I'm a Democrat. I am a Democrat, but I'll tell you, this is a party playing with its own version of suicide. They have a candidate who might well be knocked out of this race by her legal problems, and if not, they're going to haunt her, and they're only the beginning of what problems she's got. The arrangement, the dealings with the foundation and the State Department. Literally, she is the candidate of the most corrupt people in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party is so light of talent. They just all lined up behind her because they're all trying to keep jobs and positions and so on. And she is very weak, and may have some other problems. And even in the polling that was done on Super Tuesday, more people were saying that Bernie Sanders was inspiring than she was. And she keeps changing her positions. She looks like a desperate candidate at all times to me anyway. So I think that there are some problems. And the superdelegate problem, which has been rigging the Democratic races ever since the Counter-Reformation 1980s, I believe Sanders is going to go after that very, very hard. It's not going to we will see. We'll see whether he's strong. His problem has been he hasn't wanted to close with Hillary. He went after Rahm Emanuel, but he didn't do what I would have done in Illinois. if I had been advising him of the candidate, which is the man that she called for his resignation. But Sanders has not gone that far. And I think we'll see whether they will start pressing her harder over what she is saying and doing. But I don't think they're in for a treat either. And I think Democrats have got to ask them, why are you not nominating somebody with this kind of package?
A lot of questions on both sides, and we'll be happy to follow along. Pat, thanks very much for your time.
All right, thank you.
Pat Caddell, longtime pollster and strategist. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.